Our scripture lesson today, of course, is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. We're going to say this a lot, so we're going to practice as a group right now. I want you to repeat after me. Whatever happens, say it. 1, 2, 3.
Whatever happens.
All right, that's the theme. And don't let me hear you sitting out there going, whatever happens, because I will be down to see you. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. And blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that you quiet our hearts, our minds. Let us hear these words. They do not belong to me. That they will lead us, guide us, and strengthen us for the week to come, the time to come, and whatever job you give us to do, Father. We hand this over through Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, and all of his children said, Amen. I don't know who the author of this was, but the story is touching. And it's funny to me. I'm going to tell you straight up, God has a sense of humor. Now, we all think of him as sitting on his big, giant marble throne up there, long flowing beards and hair, just... He's got a sense of humor because he made giraffes. You explain that to me. Somebody said, well, the giraffes are made so tall so they can reach the trees. Why don't you make the trees shorter? I still don't understand giraffes. But God has a funny way of making things come to life. This story I pulled out just for this sermon, because today the sermon theme is what? 1, 2, 3? Thought we had to talk about this. 1, 2, 3.
Whatever happens.
The story goes, I had just recently had the most amazing experience of my life, and I want to share it with my friends. So they were driving home one evening at about 5 p.m. and got stuck in traffic somewhere on Colorado Boulevard, wherever that is. And the car began to choke out, sputter, and die. But luckily, the car was able to drift into a gas station. Glad that they would not be blocking traffic, and a somewhat warm spot to sit and wait on the tow truck. Car wouldn't even turn over, but before I could make the call, I saw a woman walking out of the Quickie Mart building. It looked like she slipped on some ice and fell into the gas pump, so I ran over to see if she was okay. And when I got there, it looked like she had been more overcome by sobs and was crying violently than had actually fell. She was a young woman, but looked old beyond her time, haggard with dark circles around her eyes. She dropped something as I helped her to pick up, and when I gave it to her, it was just a simple nickel. Just a nickel. At that moment, everything came into focus for me. The crying woman, the ancient Suburban, crammed full of her stuff with three kids in the back, one in a car seat, and the gas pump reading $4.95. I asked her if she was okay and needed help, and she kept saying, I don't want my kids to see me crying. And so we stood on the other side of the gas pump from her car. She said she was driving to California and things were very, very hard for her right now. And I asked her, I said, "Were you praying?" That made her back away from me just a little bit, but I assured her I was not a crazy person when I said, "He heard you and sent me." I took out my card and swiped it through the card reader on the pump, filled the car up to as much as it would stand. And while it was fueling, went next door to McDonald's and brought over bags full of food and gift certificates and more and coffee. And she gave the food to the kids who attacked it like wolves. And we stood by the pump eating French fries and talking. She told me her name and that she had lived in Kansas City. Her boyfriend left 2 months ago and she had not been able to make ends meet. She knew she wouldn't have any money to pay the rent. So finally, in desperation, she called her parents, whom she had not spoken to in 5 years. They lived in California and said if she could get there, she could live with them. So she packed up everything she owned in the car. She told the kids they were going to California for Christmas, but not that they were going to live there. And it broke me. So I gave her my gloves, a little hug, prayed for her safety. And as I turned around to walk to my car, she said, "Are you like an angel or something?" Now it was all out of me. The tears flowed. I said, "Sweetie, at the time of the year, angels are busy. God uses regular people." It was so incredible to be part of someone else's miracle. And of course, you guessed it. When I got in my car, it started up. Must have been a Chevrolet. Got me home with no problem. I'll put it in the shop tomorrow, but I reckon my mechanic will not find anything wrong. Sometimes the angels fly close enough to you that you can hear the flutter of their wings. That's a powerful story. It fits the theme, doesn't it? 1, 2, 3.
Whatever happens.
When I get to 3, that's when you all come back to life. Whatever happens. You can't change but one thing in your life. One thing. That's your decision as to whether or not you will follow Christ. That's the only thing you can change. After that, you can't change nothing. As a young man, I determined that I was going to stay a bachelor all of my life. Because I wanted to buy tractors and go to tractor shows and ride my motorcycle and do whatever I wanted. And that was the end of that. And 15 years ago, that changed. I'm 17. Oh, okay. Keep messing that up. And I don't even know how it happened. And then we got married. And I said, "I don't know that I want kids yet." Sense of humor. Here they came. Not one, but two. I have no control. You have no control. And so we have to remind ourselves that in our lives, it comes to 1, 2, 3.
Whatever happens.
A month and a half, 2 months ago, I was looking forward to cooking out on the grill Labor Day weekend. Instead, change. What we do in those moments defines us as the Christians people see. That's a heavy statement. That is a hard statement to understand. What we do in those moments of whatever happens defines us as the Christians that the world sees. And do you know what I want them to see in me? I want them to see someone who's impatient. I want them to see someone that has a little bit of a temper. Notice I said little bit. Don't talk to my family too much. Wait a minute. I've been here too long, you all already know. I want them to see someone who falls, who cries out, who lives in pain. I want that person that does not know Jesus Christ to see me still loving Jesus Christ, whatever happens. That's when you start showing the world something. My dad tells a story, and I love this story. He told it years and years ago, and it has never left my side, about breaking new ground. Now, there ain't but a handful of people in here that understand what breaking new ground is. If you grew up on a farm, you do. If you broke new ground with a horse, you really got an understanding. Alan, did you ever break new ground behind a horse?
Neither did I. I broke ground behind 150 horses. Big John Deere tractor. But he tells the story about the local pastor was going to go out and cut open a quarter acre lot and break it. And as he plowed along, the plow hooked on rocks and weeds and broke the point. The traces came off the horse. The handles would come up and kick. And all the while, the meanest old vile snake in all of the village, all that town, said, I'm going out today. I'm hiding the bushes. And I'm going to watch Mr. Preacher Man break ground, because breaking ground is hard stuff. And he's going to show me what he can do. Reminds me of another story. Here not too long ago, I went to a yard sale where they were selling all kinds of stuff, and they had a push mower there. I said, man, I'd like to have that push mower. I said, does it run? The guy said, well, you can try it out. Man, I pulled and 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 pulled. And I looked at the thing, and the guy says, well, you have to cuss at it every now and then. I said, mister, I'm a preacher. I don't do that stuff. He said, keep pulling. It'll come back to you. This man was out breaking ground. When that horse did everything, when the plow broke, when everything got done, he broke the ground, went home, pulled the hames off, unharnessed the horse, washed it down, thanked his God, and went to church the next day. And the man was on the back row and caught the preacher at the end of the service. He said, anyone that walks with that God, I've got to know him, and gave his heart. 1, 2, 3.
Whatever happens.
That's how we are. James is talking about that. He's telling us that whatever happens is how we're going to be. I know that story was sentimental, but in it lies the truth. Everything, and I mean everything we do, is hard. Every morning when that alarm clock goes off at 3:20, time to get up. And by 3:35, I'm out of bed getting ready to roll. Because I have to leave at 4:15 in the morning to get to work. That's hard. Or just getting up and doing your routine with the aches and pains and the things that are tearing you up. That's hard. Or standing by and watching your loved one walk away from Christ and there's nothing you can do about it. That's hard. The first thing we have to do is accept that. God did not put us here to have a party. The fall of man took care of that. We now labor. We labor from the dawn till setting sun, as the hymn says. We don't have to accept ourselves alone in this burden. We don't have to be alone in this burden. Because whatever happens, he's there. The most amazing thing to me was everything that kept going wrong when me with my health there for that little bit, he showed up. When they put me in the ambulance the second time to haul me down to George Washington University, I thought, I'll never make this trip down there. We got out on the highway. I woke up in Washington, D.C. That was his doings, and I was wide awake. And the first thing that happened when they put me in the room at 3 o'clock in the morning, the nurse came in. You can tell where my mind's at right now. We'll get to that in a minute. And the nurse came in and she said, I pity the trouble that you're going through. May God bless you. What? What? Whatever happens. We have a God that watches over us. Whatever happens. He put us here not to be just worshiping little monsters or robots. He put us here because he enjoyed the fact that he would create. And out of that creation, he knew that we were going to suffer pain. After all, what did his son do? He bled. He died. The great God that gave us that. And it's hard, isn't it? Say amen.
Amen.
It's hard to be a Christian, isn't it? It's hard to be alive. 1, 2, 3. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm going to cut the dessert table out if you don't wake up. Max Lucado tells a story
He says, Chippy, the parakeet, never saw it coming. One minute he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She took the attachment off the end of the hose and stuck the hose in the cage and went to town. The phone rang and she turned around to pick it up, and she barely said hello when she heard boom. The bird owner freaked out, put the phone down, turned off the vacuum, opened the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realized that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the parakeet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Max Lucado says, it's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. And that's the problem. And that's what we need to put ourselves in that frame. We all have a job to do. We have to be Christians. We all have that to do. And we have to be Christians at the hardest time when we don't want to be, when we feel sick, or when our head is aching, or when we're tired, or when something's going wrong. That's the hardest time to be a Christian. Anybody can be a good-looking Christian on a Sunday morning. Say amen. Y'all coming in here in your Sunday best, and oh, it's nice to see you, sister so-and-so, and look at brother, what's his name? He got a new car. And then when you drive out of the parking lot and your brakes down, why'd he get a new car? But we teach ourselves. And we borrow trouble because we forget. Edward Everett Hale said, never attempt to bear more than one kind of trouble at once. Some people bear all three kinds. All they've had, all they have now, and all they expect to have. When I left for work this morning, it was of my mindset that I would finish my notes on my sermon when I got here. I had a lot of things to think about. I didn't finish. At this point, I'm going on what God gave me. This morning, we pile in the excursion. My wife says, there's a little vibration in it. Maybe you can figure it out. All right. We invited the Leibowitz boys, who, God bless them, don't get to come to church as much as I would like to see them. We got a big car. We'll put a bunch of kids in it. We'll have a good time. The car's vibrating. She said, what is that? I said, I think that's a belt in one of the tires getting in a bad way. But I wasn't 100% for sure, so we trudged on. We stopped, we picked them up, and we took off. And 5 miles out of Wolfsville, somewhere on the mountain, bam! The tire blows. It doesn't just go thump, 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 thump. It blew completely off the truck in an area where there is no phone signal. And so I got the thing off the road, and I'm standing there where I never, ever have phone signal. I pulled my phone out. I got signal. And I was able to make some phone calls. That was only the beginning of that adventure. Mark and Stephen, please forgive me, but these are my observations. God loves to teach. And through his sense of humor, he teaches in a multitude of ways. And today he taught me patience, the likes of which I have never felt. Because we called their mother to come get us. And as you know, their father is not able to drive. And they've got a van. Yippee! They'll come get us. They'll take us home. We'll get in the truck. I done called them. We're going to be all, everything will be fine. Three kids in there when she got there. It took her 20 minutes to go 5 miles. She had to put everybody in the truck. I'm looking at the watch. Four boys are playing. And one of them turns to me and says, Daddy, how are you so calm in all of this? You are not funny.
The van pulls up. We get in the van. We pile in. I sit in the seat. Sit down next to you. How old is Joni?
1 year old.
Joni is 1 year old. Joni takes one look at me, and her eyes go about that big around, and Joni turns into an air raid siren. And for the next 9 miles back to the truck, right there beside of me, I listened to nothing else but, and their mother, God bless her, was in such a panic to get us to church. She drove across them mountain roads like she was Bo and Luke Duke. And there was nothing for me to hold on to. And everybody else is clapping and singing. And my wife turns around to try to talk to me while the air raid siren's going off. And I have to look at her going, are you kidding? And they're up there just chatting about shoes and hair and this, that, and the other. And then I look on the dash of the van and the gas gauge is on empty. Okay. This is... What a friend I have in Jesus. We get to the driveway, we jump out, we get in the truck, and we're here. So many other things could have happened at that moment. Wet roads, blown steering tire, car goes into skid, flips over. Bad news. When I go home the day after church, I got to go put a wheel on it and get it back home. But whatever happens, 1, 2, 3. That is where God lives. In all of the trials and tribulations that you will suffer, James is talking about it. Soldier on. He says right in the beginning, consider it pure joy. Now that right there, when I meet James, me and him going to talk about that start. Are you nuts? James was a great, great writer. He didn't play around when he wrote these 5 chapters. He put it right in front of you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then he goes on to describe the differences. And he talks about the rich man and the poor man and where we will all stand one day. Exactly the same. And it doesn't matter what you lay up on this earth. It doesn't matter where you think your life is going. You're going to leave one day. And that's where we need to remind ourselves. Whatever happens in this life, Lord, whatever goes on, whatever dangers I face, whatever joy I face, whatever you give me, Father, whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever happens, you're there 100%. Let me remind myself to turn to you. Let me listen to what James said. Let me look at you again. Let me be the Christian you would have me be so that those that are seeking and lost go, I can live just like him because he ain't perfect. That's who you need to be. The Great Chicago Fire raged wide open. Burned everything to the ground. People lost millions. Millions. And one man in particular lost everything he had. And so he decided he would get on a boat and head to England. And he would set up shop in England. And he sent a wire to his family. Load up. Bring my daughters. 4 or 5 of them. And they got on the boat. They started across. Halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, tragedy struck. The boat sank. And 4 of his daughters were gone. Christian man, believing fully, going over to England to carry on the work of Jesus Christ and God, asking for his family to be there while he does it, loses 4 of them. And the wire that comes from his wife when she's rescued says, still alive, daughter's with me. It is well with my soul. Sometime later, he has to go back over to America for business. And while he's on the boat, he asks the captain about this accident that took place to tell him where it happened. And sometime At midnight during the voyage, the captain knocked on his door and said, "I have slowed the engines of the boat down. We are now over the place where your daughters left." And Horatio G. Spafford walked out on deck and stared down at that black water, knowing that his family was gone. And in the midst of all of that, he could have turned away and become bitter. And he remembered the words, "It is well with my soul." Walked back to his cabin, took out a piece of paper and a pencil, and started writing, "When peace like a river." Now, I'm a farm boy. I love that song. Everybody in here loves that song. But I recently stumbled across something that for a farm boy can't be any better. Number one, Christians. Number two, that song. And number three, singing in a silo. Maestro? Amen. 1, 2, 3. It is well with my soul. If we would remember to do that, if we would live in that moment, we would become the Christians the world would turn to. If we would remember what James said, that whatever happens,
We move forward with the protection of Christ. Gene, this cross represents whatever happens. A few years ago, we had this on our Good Friday service. And everybody came up and dipped their hand in the paint and put their burden where he carried it. If we would do well to remember the cross and the symbol, if we would do well to remember that whatever happens, it will be well with my soul. One of the greatest things I've ever heard is the description of Christians and non-Christians goes as follows. If you go to an airport, you can see those with a confirmed ticket ready to get on a plane. They are sleeping, reading a book, a paper, drinking a cup of coffee. And those who are on standby hoping to get a seat look worried and pace and fret. We Christians have our ticket punched because we put forth the faith and we will let him be there whatever happens. Amen? That's where we live in. That's where we live in. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Whatever happens, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you bless us greatly. You give us so much. And at times we forget. Forgive us. At times we get lost. Lead us. At times we get confused. Quiet our heart and our mind. At times we think everyone has forgotten us. You have not. At times we feel we cannot step the next step. Whatever happens, Father, you're there to carry us to it. Let us not forget that. Let us continue to live our life and be who we are and let the world see Jesus Christ through us, our faults, our impurities, and our joy. We thank you, Father. We thank you for whatever trials and tribulations you put in front of us, because you're there to take us through. Keep that in our hearts and minds this week, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.